paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
For Dr. Tortora, it's time again for a regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We'll be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, laser beams, and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join us today, give us a call. Our number here is 521-8383. All opinions expressed on this program are my own and don't necessarily reflect those of the station. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hope everyone had a good week. I was here 2 weeks ago, and we talked about eye safety, since July 4th was around the corner. I hope everyone enjoyed the fireworks. Please do check us out on our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. We also have a Facebook page. There's all sorts of information on that site. So anything related to eye, all the latest eye news, you can find on our Facebook page. So speaking of news or eye news, something that caught my eye in the past few weeks is a special test for a certain type of eye cancer called ocular melanoma. This is a type of cancer that's malignant, and it affects the inside of the eye. Fortunately, it's not all that common. However, it can be pretty devastating for those who do have this condition. Anyway, this study that I read about related to a genetic test that can differentiate different types of melanoma. They're split into two classes, class 1 and class 2. In the class 1 patients, the people are cured if the tumor is totally removed. So that's pretty good news for those patients. However, in the class 2 subset, 80 to 90% of people in this class die within 5 years. So that certainly isn't good. However, you know, this test can differentiate between the two classes. So I suppose that's good, since you can, you know, find out what your prognosis is. However, since there is really no cure, you know, you have to wonder, you know, if you are class two, what can you do with that information? Well, you can, I suppose, be monitored more closely if you are in the class 2 subset, so there could be benefits there. However, I think this test or this news is pretty important, since it can lay the groundwork for future tests for other types of cancers as well. So it's really amazing that people can get what their prognosis from just a genetic test. So this got me thinking, what are the other types of eye cancers out there? Well, cancer can affect different parts of the eye. I mean, normally when people think of cancer, the eyes aren't the first thing that come to mind. I think breast, lung, prostate cancers are certainly more common. However, cancers can affect the eyes, and they can affect different parts of the eyes. In the past, I think we touched upon cancers of the eyelid. These are growths that can happen along any part of the eyelid. We've had a few patients come in every now and then who have noticed a strange-looking growth, either a small bump or something that may be discolored on the edge of the eyelid, and they come in for us to check it out, and in some cases, they do turn out to be cancers, and there are different types of cancers that can affect the eyelid. And the eyelid, you know, it's susceptible to cancer since it's exposed to sunlight. It's the UV or ultraviolet exposure that can cause cancers, much like skin cancer. After all, the eyelid is composed of skin. And since they're exposed all the time, they can be susceptible to cancer. So that's why it's important to wear eye protection, specifically sunglasses that block ultraviolet light. So there are different subsets of cancers that affect the eyelid skin. There's something called basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, and sebaceous cell carcinoma. And really, the only way to tell for sure what type you have or if you have cancer is to take a biopsy. And if you do have a suspicious-looking growth on your eyelid or eyelid skin, we usually recommend that the growth is removed. That way, we not only remove the growth totally, but we can send it to the pathology lab and have them process it to find out exactly what that growth is. So it's important if you do have a suspicious-looking bump or any discolored or pigmented or dark-colored growth along your eyelid, do get it checked out. In most cases, they are benign. A lot of people have like skin tags, what are commonly called skin tags, or wart-like growths along the eyelid margin, and we routinely remove those and have it sent out for biopsy, and invariably they do come out benign. But however, there is a certain subset that could be malignant, so please be aware. So what? And also wear your sunglasses. So what other parts of the eyes can get cancer? Well, along the surface of the eye, since the surface of the eyeball itself is exposed to sunlight, you can get cancers there. And by the surface, I'm speaking of the conjunctiva, which is that mucus layer that covers the white part of your eye. And that's susceptible to certain types of cancers as well. And oftentimes we get patients come in who kind of look at themselves in the mirror and notice, you know, some discoloration or maybe some redness or possibly a bump on the surface of the eye. Most are benign. Most turn out to be just pinguecula, which is quite common. A pinguecula is an overgrowth on the mucousy part of the eye, commonly found kind of on the sides, right next to the colored part, or actually the cornea. And people often describe it as like a yellowish bump there. That's just an overgrowth of the mucus layer, and that's benign. And I would say about 80% of the patients I see have a little bit, or at least a little bit of that. However, some folks have growths that are a little bit more elevated. They tend to be a little bit red. They have blood vessels on them. These are a little bit more suspicious for cancers of the conjunctiva. And there's several treatment options for that. Certainly, we can remove it and biopsy it and tell for sure if it is a cancer. There are also certain chemotherapeutic agents or medications in drop form that can be placed to get rid or treat the cancers of the conjunctiva. So what other components of the ocular surface are there? Well, there's the cornea, which is the clear window on the front part of the eye. People who wear contact lenses place the contact lens directly on the cornea. So the cornea can have growths as well that can be cancerous. These are actually difficult to see if you're just looking in the mirror. So that's why we kind of recommend routine eye exams, especially if you're 40 or older, just to get it checked out, because the chances of cancers are much higher at an older age. And once again, make sure you wear UV protection. So going further inside of the eye, the color part of the eye, which is called the iris, and the color part, you know, determines the color of your eyes. Some people are blue-eyed, some people are brown-eyed. That's the iris has the color, the pigment. And sometimes people have growths on that, and that can sometimes be cancerous as well. Now, this test that I spoke about, the genetic test, affects the inside of the eye, or the retina and the choroid. And they're susceptible to different types of cancer, specifically melanoma, which I had mentioned, certain childhood cancers, specifically retinoblastoma, can affect the inside of the eyes. So that's why we recommend that kids, infants, get at least their eyes checked by their pediatrician. They can test for whiteness of the eyes, or rather if they see I think most folks have noticed the red reflex or what's called a red eye when looking in pictures or flash photography. The flash causes a reflection off the retina, causing a red reflex. And they can check for that. If the red reflex isn't there in little infants or kids, that can point to a problem inside of the eye. Perhaps there's a growth in the inside of the eye suggesting a tumor. So we recommend that pediatricians do check for that. And if they do find something suspicious, they're sent to the ophthalmologist for a more detailed exam. So retinoblastoma is one type of tumor that can affect the eye, specifically in young children. So what else is there? Well, cancers of other parts of the body can travel to the eye. These are metastatic tumors. I'd mentioned breast, lung, and prostate cancers. I think people are more aware or have heard of these types of cancers. Well, these types of cancers can spread. That's called metastasis, and they can go to the eye itself. So sometimes if the cancer has spread to the eye, oftentimes people complain of blurry vision, floaters, flashing lights, decreased vision, and vision changes like that. So that's another less common cause of tumors in the eye. Well, before we go on, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Okay, so welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Stephen Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora. We were talking about different types of eye cancers. The eye cancers can certainly affect different parts of the eye. I bring this up because oftentimes it's difficult to see if there is anything going on with your eyes. So certainly it's important to have your eyes checked at least, you know, once a year. Just to check not only your vision, but to see if there is anything else going on. We do have a caller. Hello, this is Steve. Oh. Dr. Ree.
Hello, Dr. Ree.
Hi, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to find out the glaucoma range from what number to what number the lowest.
Oh, the glaucoma range. I think you're talking about the eye pressure.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So glaucoma, just for background information, glaucoma is something we see quite commonly in our patients. Not everyone has it, of course, but it does affect a large population. And glaucoma affects the optic nerve. The optic nerve is the cable that connects your eyeball to your brain, so all the visual information is sent to your brain via the optic nerve. So any type of damage to the nerve can certainly affect your vision. And there are several risk factors for glaucoma. Certainly older age is one, family history is one, higher eye pressure, which is what you had mentioned, is certainly a risk factor. And the eye pressure, there's no one cutoff point that we look at to determine whether a person has glaucoma. There is a quote-unquote normal range where we're less suspicious. I would say anywhere from 10 to perhaps 20. However, people can still have glaucoma or damage to the optic nerve at any pressure. I mean, their pressures can be as low as 10, and they could still have glaucoma. There's something called low tension or normal tension glaucoma that we do see quite commonly among our glaucoma patients. So you might be wondering, so how do we tell if you have glaucoma? Well, there are several things that we can do. Firstly, we can actually see part of your optic nerve on our exam. For those folks who have had eye exams know that you get dilated, meaning we kind of open up your pupil with eye drops so we can take a look inside of your eye. And when we look inside of your eye, we can see part of the optic nerve. And people who do have damage from glaucoma, the optic nerve does look a little bit suspicious looking. It looks different. So that's one key thing that we look at. What else do we check? Well, we do check the eye pressure, of course. And as I said, the pressures, it can range from anywhere from lowest 10 or even lower to as high as in the 40s. So just because your pressure is a little bit elevated doesn't or isn't elevated doesn't mean you don't have glaucoma. So we rely on testing. We have special tests that we do that simply gives us more information to determine whether or not you do have changes from glaucoma. We have a special instrument called an OCT, or optical coherence tomography. And this takes a picture of the back of your eye, and this actually measures the thickness of the nerve layer around the optic nerve. And studies have shown that in people who do have changes from glaucoma, the nerve layer tends to thin out. So it does give us like an objective measurement of that. We also check the visual field test, since people who do have severe glaucoma, they tend to lose the side vision or peripheral vision. And this test helps to check that. It does check whether or not you do have any peripheral or side vision loss. So there are several tests that we rely on to determine if you do have glaucoma. So it's not just the eye pressure. Now, if your pressures are really, really elevated, say above 20, then we're more suspicious. And we would recommend getting further testing, especially if you have a family history of glaucoma. We would certainly recommend those tests. So I hope I've answered your question, Kay. Is there anything that you wanted to know about glaucoma and eye pressures?
If that's the case, are they going to increase the medication application, mm-hmm. like you say, twice a day? I mean, would you say that they have to put on more than twice and say, put three times a day?
Oh, so you're talking about the glaucoma drops, the eye drops?
Yes.
Okay, so the way we treat glaucoma, or one way we treat it, is with eye drops, and the eye drops lower the eye pressure. So again, studies have shown that by lowering the eye pressure, it'll decrease or slow down the progression of glaucoma. So that's why we often start the glaucoma eye drops. Now, what we're looking for, obviously, is a decrease in the eye pressure. So let's say your pressure was 20 when you were diagnosed and the eye drops were started. Hopefully, the eye drops will lower the pressure, say, to like 15. And depending on how severe the glaucoma is, we want to target it to a certain level below what it was before you started the eye drops. Now, if your doctor determines that the glaucoma is getting worse, say on your visual field or your OCT, things look like they're progressing, you're losing more of your peripheral vision, that means the pressure should probably be lower than what it is now, and your doctor may add another drop. Just by increasing the frequency of the same drop doesn't really change things, because each eye drop has a recommended dosage. There are several classes of eye drops out there. In one class, the recommended dosage is once a day at bedtime. So taking it two or three times a day is not really going to help that much. It's not going to decrease it further. Other eye drops are used twice a day. There's another class that's used three times a day. So you should really follow your doctor's recommendations and use the specific frequency that's recommended for that specific eye drop. So if the glaucoma appears to be getting worse over time, your doctor may recommend adding another drop to help further the eye pressure. There are other treatment options. There is a laser procedure called an SLT that's done. It's a simple office procedure, and that procedure does help to lower the eye pressure as well. In folks with glaucoma that's uncontrolled by either the medication or the laser, there is surgery for glaucoma. There are several different types of surgery for glaucoma. And Dr. Tortora, he's a glaucoma specialist. He does several different types of glaucoma surgeries as well. So just by increasing the frequency of the drop may not be enough, and you should use the specific drop in the way that it's indicated. So if it is once at bedtime, you should stick to the once at bedtime routine. Using it more often than that may not do anything.
The other thing is that you put in your, like, blink.
Artificial tear drops?
Can I put the A's up? Then if 5 minutes later, put the blink, would that be okay?
As long as you space it out, I wouldn't put the drops in one after another, because what often happens is the later drops just wash away the prior drops. So if you are using more than one drop in a similar time, I would wait at least 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Just let the first drop kind of, you know, work its way in, so to speak, before you add the second or even third drop. So do space it out. That
Another
way
thing
it's
I
much
noticed
more
that the is has a film that comes out.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's kind of thick, right? So
I mean, know, like a mucus, like just.
Yeah, yeah. So what you might want to do is maybe. After putting that in, wait at least 5 minutes, and then you can put the artificial tear drop in. Yeah, I've heard that a lot, too, from my patients.
I mean that you just, if I put the A's up now, 5 minutes later, I notice that the film, like a mucus, comes out from the...
From your eye?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then, you know, when you see that, it's okay to use the artificial tear drop.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
just to
thank you
it.
Very much for the informative message.
Oh, you're very welcome, Kay.
I appreciate this, and have a fine day.
Oh, you too. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so glaucoma is a common condition that we do treat. Like I mentioned, there are different treatment options for glaucoma. Eye drops are one of them. Certainly, laser is the other option. And lasers are, people often prefer that if you're a good candidate, since you may be less reliant on eye drops. I know it's difficult, very difficult for some for putting the eye drops in. So the SLT, which is a laser, may be a good treatment option. We do have another caller, Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Yes, yes.
Hey, it's Dr. Ree. How are you?
I'm fine. I got several questions. Hopefully, you can answer it.
Okay.
Okay. I have diabetes. I started September of 2010, and every year in December, I go to check my eyes. This past December, check my eyes, dilated. This is an ophthalmologist just checking, and he said I was good to go. Then in February, I noticed... that I had some sort of floaters. Can I give you a graphic analysis? It's just like you get a white piece of paper and you put black pepper on it, and it looks exactly like this.
Oh, okay.
So So I went to the doctor, and, mm-hmm. and he told me I had hemorrhaging, mm-hmm. partially detached retina, mm-hmm. and I had to undergo emergency surgery mm-hmm. with the retina consultants, and I'm okay. But my question is that I checked in December, and I had this in February. Could the diabetes that I have cause it?
Cause the hemorrhaging?
Yeah, detached retina. Okay, because I was checking December, I was good to go, and I haven't, you know, had any, head trauma or nothing. It just happened.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, that's a tough question for me to answer, since I didn't really. It would be helpful to know what your eyes looked like, you know, on the first exam as well as on the second exam. However, I can say that diabetes can be pretty devastating to the eyes. You know, as you know, what happens is. The diabetes affects the blood vessels,
right.
And since there are blood vessels in the eye is affected along with the rest of your body. And if the if your sugars are kind of out of control or they're up and down for a long time, that's when we see stuff happening.
Okay, I've been under controls. My A1C is 6.2,
right,
and my sugar level is steady 110,
right.
So
right.
I'm really under control. In fact, right. I used to take right. my blood test every day.
Right.
The doctor said I don't need it to do it maybe once a week.
Right,
so it's
right,
under
right.
control. So right. so when I did check in September, he said everything's good. The glaucoma test, everything.
Right.
And I was
right.
just thinking, what would cause that? I said maybe it's diabetes.
Yeah.
So I was listening to your program, and
yeah.
I figure you have the expertise to tell me.
Yeah. So things that can cause bleeding like that, certainly diabetes is one of the most common causes. When abnormal blood vessels grow from the diabetes, you can get bleeding inside of the eye, causing kind of scarring, and that can later cause retinal detachment as well. Can I point that or blame it specifically on the diabetes? It's hard for me to say, honestly. But since you do have diabetes, and that is one of the most common causes, there's definitely a correlation. Could it be anything else? Certainly, there are other things that could cause bleeding like that. You know, you can have like a vessel blockage. That can cause bleeding into the eye. So, you know, without having seen you, I can't say 100%, you know, if it was something else. But, you know, we do see a lot of patients with diabetes. As you know, it is quite common. And I've seen plenty of patients who have bleeding in the eye from diabetes, along with retinal detachment.
Yeah. Right. I've been seeing ophthalmologists since
right.
I got it.
Right.
And
right.
they've been checking my eyes because one other thing, once you
yeah.
have diabetes,
yeah.
I guess I wear glasses, and I went from being a myopic to
yeah.
Farsightedness. Then it went back again, according to what the doctor said. As long as it's not stabilized, you cannot get a prescription, or you'll be ordering prescription every
yeah,
other month.
Yeah, we often encounter that sometimes when the sugars go up and down like a roller coaster, it
right.
could affect the glasses prescription.
So then now it's steady since, it's been steady since last year, maybe
mm-hmm.
October.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when they checked it, they say, okay, you can get the...
Right.
Your glasses, right. and then it happened in February.
Oh, okay.
And I had to go to a retina consultant.
Right,
and
right.
I have to just check in,
right.
I guess, in September, but everything looks good.
Oh, okay.
I just asked the doctor, the one that performed surgery on me, laser. He said, well, as far as he's concerned, no,
yeah.
he can't. And I'm just thinking, hey, I haven't had that since I had my diabetes, so. There must be a correlation somehow.
Right, right.
And
right.
I checked on the computer,
yeah.
and it's exactly what you said. It can, yeah. but yet, you know,
yeah.
they don't want to say.
Yeah, well, so I think, you know, since you do have the diabetes and you had this happen, I think it is important to get the routine checkups, you know, because it's better to catch these changes earlier, you know, rather than later. And they can happen, you know, it can happen fairly quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always try to be proactive instead of reactive.
Okay. That's the way to be, Dennis.
Yeah, that's true, because once you lose your eyes, that's it.
Yeah. Well, are you seeing better now?
Well, yes, I'm seeing better, but I have cataracts, and the doctor said it's not affecting too much now.
Okay.
I got good peripheral vision, and I can see. Right. I'm 67.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sounds like the surgery was a success, and I'm glad you're seeing better. I think what's important now certainly is to work with your doctor, keep your sugars under good control, which it sounds like you're doing, and to get the routine eye checkups.
Yeah, I'm going to just check on it. Yeah. I just want the second opinion on that cause of the bleeding.
Correlation, yeah. We do see quite a few diabetic patients, and I've seen a lot of stuff happen in the eye from the diabetes.
Yeah, so when a doctor says no, I check on one or two doctors, and then if they say no, maybe I say I get leery, so I keep on checking.
Okay, sir.
Okay, all right, better let you go.
Have a good weekend. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so before we go on, we're going to have a station break. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 80 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton. Dennis, here's what's happening. The federal government has agreed to let Florida use a law enforcement database to challenge people's right to vote if they're suspected of not being U.S. citizens. The agreement comes in a letter obtained by the Associated Press. It grants the state access to a list of resident non-citizens maintained by the Department of Homeland Security. The Obama administration had denied Florida's request for months, but relented after a judge ruled in the state's favor in a related matter. President Barack Obama is keeping up his attacks on the policies of rival Mitt Romney and his Republican allies. Campaigning today in Virginia, Obama described Romney as a pioneer of outsourcing whose ideas are outdated and discredited. Romney is in New Hampshire with his family and doesn't plan any public campaign appearances until Tuesday. 8 engines, 5 ladders, and a fire helicopter are battling flames from a brush fire on the Leeward coast. That fire was reported just before 3:30 a.m., and Fire Captain Gary Lum says there are no residences in the area. Those working at the tracking station, though, were evacuated because the fire was spreading quickly. The main problem was access to water. A fire investigator determined oil-soaked rags left by workers on the roof of a kahala home under construction was the cause of a fire that damaged that home. The fire was reported Thursday on Aukai Avenue, and it burned through a wall and into the living room of a single-story home. Firefighters quickly brought it under control. However, it did an estimated $200,000 damage. The remnants of Daniel are not showing up as forecasters predicted. All islands were expected to get some rain, bigger waves, increased winds, with the Big Island feeling the most pronounced effects. But that's not been the case. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 73, currently 80 degrees.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora. Welcome to the Hawaiian Eye Show. We were just talking about diabetes and the eye. I'm glad that caller had called us, since we see so many diabetic patients. As you all know, diabetes is increasingly more common among the populations, especially here in Hawaii. Diabetes can be pretty devastating, not only to the eyes, but to the rest of the body. It does affect the blood vessels, like I said, and since the blood vessels can get a little bit leaky, the first signs of diabetes in the eye is actually blood in the back of the eye. So we feel that it is really important to get your eyes checked out if you do have diabetes, at least a yearly exam. And if we do see bleeding, we often like to see you back a little bit sooner, because that may indicate that your condition could get worse over time. If there's enough bleeding, or if there's even swelling of the retina, which is the tissue that lines the inside of the eye, often we recommend treatment for that. So if you are diabetes, please get your eyes checked out at least once a year. So something else that I saw in the news is a study done by Northwestern University. And this is really kind of neat. It showed that today's senior citizens are reporting fewer visual impairment problems than their counterparts from a generation ago. So they're saying that, well, here's the hard data here. In 1984, which is 28 years ago, 23% of elderly adults had difficulty reading or seeing the newspaper print because of poor eyesight. By 2010, that percentage was only 9.7% of elderly reporting the same problem. So that's a 58% decrease in reported visual impairment. So there was also a substantial decline in eyesight problems that limited older Americans from taking part in daily activities like bathing, dressing, or getting around inside or outside of the home, according to this study. So what does that mean? Well, it suggests that people are taking better care of their eyes, and the technology, the diagnostic technology, screening tools, and treatment like surgery, it's everything's helping to prolong the vision of our elderly population. So this is great. And, you know, we kind of see this every day in our office. With the increasing baby boomer generation, we're seeing more elderly folks. I mean, that comprises the bulk of our patient population. And, you know, these folks are very active. I'm surprised every day how active our elderly patients are. They're golfing, they're taking care of their grandkids, they're going on trips. I mean, it's really incredible the lifestyle that these folks lead. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am surprised how young everybody looks. You know, I have patients in their 80s, and I'm surprised that they're 80. When I look at their chart, I have to do a double take. So, you know, since these folks, our elderly population, they're more active, they want to do more stuff, they're relying on their eyesight. You know, if their eyesight's poor, they simply can't do the stuff that they want to do, and, you know, it shouldn't be like that. And, you know, of course, the number one problem causing vision impairment are cataracts. So oftentimes the cataracts can limit the vision. People have difficulty reading. Most of my patients love to read, and that's a very common complaint that we encounter. Oh, you know, doc, you know, I'm having trouble reading. I can't read my Bible. You know, I can't read my novels anymore. The lights don't help. And oftentimes it is the cataract that's causing that. So it makes us feel great to help them out. You know, after doing the cataract surgery, they're all wowed by their new vision. So it feels great to us to help them out in that way. So certainly, you know, this study was very encouraging to us, and definitely makes us feel good that we're helping in some way. Certainly, with improved techniques and outcomes for cataract surgery, it helps to push those numbers up in terms of people having better vision later in life. Something else that the study had cited as a cause is less smoking, and that correlates to a drop in the prevalence of macular degeneration. Macular degeneration is a condition that affects the back of the eye, the retina. We kind of spoke about the retina and diabetes as well. And certainly smoking is a huge risk factor for macular degeneration. So as the population smokes less, hopefully we'll see even fewer cases of macular degeneration, among other things. Also, treatment for diabetic eye disease. It's more available and improved. And certainly that's helped out in improving people's vision. So again, all you diabetics out there, make sure you get at least an annual eye exam. So for the cataract surgery, that's the most one of the most common things that we treat amongst our elderly population, and the results are great. I mean, I have a lot of patients who could barely see the big E because of the cataract, and afterwards they're just wowed by the vision that they get after cataract surgery. And I know our regular listeners have are probably very conversant about cataract surgery by now, but I just wanted to go over the treatment options out there. As you all know, the cataract is the lens inside of the eye, and over time the lens gets cloudy, and that's called the cataract. And you can imagine if the lens gets cloudy, it's going to affect your vision. Certainly decreased reading or trouble with reading, glare and halo at nighttime is a common problem. It's so bad that some people can't even drive at nighttime, or they're too scared to because of all the incoming headlights. It impairs the vision. They simply can't see the road as well. So folks like that, we do recommend getting the cataracts done because it can be very helpful. And so after we do remove the cataract or the lens, we replace it with an implant or an artificial lens. And this lens helps you to focus better. And there are different types of lens options. One type of lens, we try to calculate you for good distance vision, so you may be less dependent on glasses, like say when you're driving. However, you do need glasses to read. Other options called the multifocal, which helps you to focus far away as well as near, so you may be less dependent on reading glasses. So a lot of people choose this option because they simply don't want to wear their glasses all the time. They're very active, like I said, our elderly population. They want to go out and do stuff. They want to play golf, play with their grandkids, do all sorts of things, travel. So, you know, lugging around a pair of glasses might be a little bit painful. So to be less dependent on them, they opt for the multifocal IOL or implant. The other option is called the toric. Toric refers to astigmatism correction. I think a lot of people are familiar with that term but may not quite know what that is. The astigmatism refers to a type of glasses correction, and usually it's caused by the shape of the cornea or the front part of the eye. Usually the cornea is kind of spherical, you know, like a basketball, but it can be a little bit irregular. And if there are any irregularities in the shape of the cornea, that can cause astigmatism. So this type of implant does correct for astigmatism, so you may be less dependent on glasses after you get your cataract surgery. However, you still will need reading glasses with the toric lenses. So those are the three most common options out there. So if you are, or if you know you have cataracts, or you've been told you have cataracts, make sure you bring up those treatment options with your doctor. So one of those may be good for your eyes. So that's that about cataracts. What I'd like to do next is actually take one more break, and we'll come back and go over some interesting cases.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Hey, this is Dr. Steve Rhee again. Welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show. What I'd like to do is just go over some interesting cases that I've seen in the past few weeks. I have noticed an increase in pink eye or viral conjunctivitis amongst our patients. I don't know. I think something is going around. For those of you who had pink eye, know that it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. What happens is a virus similar to the cold virus infects the eye. And people often complain their eyes are red, they're weepy, they're crusty, they're closed shut in the morning. They can't open their eyes. They have to like pry it open with their fingers. It's just really uncomfortable. It's gritty. It's itchy. Often the vision's kind of blurry. So it's a big pain. And it's a pain because it can sometimes affect the other eye because it's pretty contagious. So we recommend that people who do have pink eye wash their hands like religiously. After every time you touch your face, wash your hands because you could either infect your other eye or others or other family members. We do like to check it out because sometimes there are more severe forms of the pink eye. Sometimes membranes can form along the inner lining of the eyelids, and that can be very, very uncomfortable. And if we do see that, we kind of peel it off. I know that sounds uncomfortable, but it actually makes the person feel a lot better. Sometimes this pink eye can affect the cornea. We often see an immune reaction, and we see little white spots, and that can sometimes impair the vision, so that needs to be treated differently. Unfortunately, for just routine pink eye, there is no magic drop that can make it away. So we recommend artificial tear drops, kind of like getting a cold. You know, you kind of have to wait it out and let it go away on its own. So it's the same thing with pink eye. We do like to see people back after about a week. After the pink eye starts, because the membranes can form at that time, and also we can see these immune reactions on the cornea. So we do like to see people back. So that's one thing that I've noticed. A lot of people have come in recently with that, so that's something to look out for. We do have a caller, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi there.
Hi,
it's Dr. I'd like to know the cost of the multifocal lenses here in Hawaii.
Oh, the cost of the multifocal. It's roughly, I can't quote like every single practice, but approximately, depending on the type of multifocal, it's about $2,000.
Per eye.
Per eye, yes. Okay. Average.
Okay.
But that
you
depends
mean
on the type.
You mean there are different types?
Well, the toric is a little bit different. Oh, the toric is different, but the multifocal, they're actually different types of multifocal lenses.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
As I understand, they're not covered by insurance.
No, the multifocals are not covered by insurance. The standard IOL, where your distance vision or even your close-up vision, one of those can be corrected. That's covered by the insurance. However, the multifocal and the toric, which corrects for astigmatism, mm-hmm. Those aren't covered by insurance.
I see. And is it something fairly new?
They've been around for a few years now. However, it's becoming more popular as patients become more aware of it, I guess, and news kind of spreads.
Right.
Sometimes I have patients who come in whose friends have had it done, so they're more aware of it, and they bring it up themselves. And, you know, of course, we tell everybody that they are available, but it's becoming more popular now. But it has been around for a few years.
Okay. So I wasn't aware of that until I met a lady who'd had it done, and she's so ecstatic about
it. Oh, great. Yeah.
All righty. Just wanted to know what the cost was.
Do ask your own ophthalmologist, you know, because it can vary, but that's about the average price.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. So talking about the pink eye, so we have seen a lot of that lately. I don't know if it comes in. It must come in waves, I suppose, kind of like the cold. Another patient that I saw recently was complaining of double vision. However, it was only when he covered one of his eyes. So if he covered his left eye, he saw double, and kind of clarified that and by asking, you know, are you seeing two things side by side? And he noticed that he was seeing a ghost image, kind of like a shadow, like the edges were like a shadow. And when we hear that, most commonly it's due to surface issues, meaning things happening on the surface of the eye. So usually it could be astigmatism, which I had mentioned before. Sometimes there's an irregularity in the shape of the cornea. It's not completely spherical, and that can cause astigmatism. And that can sometimes cause this shadow image or a ghost image. Sometimes it could be simply your eyes drying out. There are a lot of folks out there with a dry eye. And when the eyes dry out, the surface can become irregular, and that can cause shadowing and ghost images. So for this particular gentleman, it turns out he did have a little bit of astigmatism, and when we corrected it with glasses, that did relieve that ghosting. Other causes could be the cataract itself. He did have a mild cataract, and sometimes that can cause that ghost or shadow image. And I bring this up because on rare occasions we do see people with double vision, and it is important to distinguish double vision when seeing out of both eyes or just one eye. When you're seeing double vision out of both eyes, that could point to completely other causes like thyroid eye disease. It could be a problem with the muscle or a nerve. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. I hope... you've been informed about different types of eye care and eye problems. I want to thank Steve for helping us out today, and we'll see you back next week.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Coast to Coast AM, weeknights at 7 with George Norrie.
The whole universe is accelerating and speeding up.
On KHVH Honolulu,
Hawaii's home for Fox News.